We are privileged to bring to you another series of spiritual conferences given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J., professor at the Jesuit School of Theology in Chicago and at St. John's University in New York. Father Hardin is a well-known retreat master, author, and spiritual director. Each conference in this series is separate in itself, and yet together they form a complete retreat. The overall theme being sacrifice and love. The heart of all spirituality is sacrifice, and a spiritual life not built on sacrifice is building on sand. In the following conference, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Father Hardin.
The subject of our present conference is the Immaculate Heart of Mary. As we might expect, there is a close and necessary relationship between devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. One of the clearest and certainly authoritative declarations on this relationship is the statement of Pope Pius XII, in which he says, "It is highly fitting that after due homage has been paid to the most sacred heart of Jesus, Christian people who have obtained the divine life from Christ through Mary manifest similar piety and love of their grateful souls for the most loving heart of our Heavenly Mother." Unquote. In the present conference, my intention is that we ask ourselves two questions and dwell in answer briefly on each. What is devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary? And then, how can and should we put this devotion into effective practice? As we approach the first level of our reflections, what is the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we should here do what we have done regarding devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, namely draw a line between devotion, which describes what we are to do, and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which identifies what the Church means by the title, Immaculate Heart of Mary. The two levels of our reflection, therefore, will be first to look at what the Church means by the title, Immaculate Heart of Mary, and then how we are to respond. In a word, how do we practice the devotion? The what is the Immaculate Heart. The how is the devotion. That towards which we direct our sentiments is, of course, our Blessed Mother. But with very special and distinctive nuances that are implied in that now universal title, Immaculate Heart. That is the object. The devotion is our response to that which faith tells us is true. We begin, therefore, with the second part first, namely identifying what the Church means by the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and ask, What does the church mean? By the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the church means that aspect of the Blessed Virgin Mary which centers on two of her prerogatives, namely, her love, symbolized in the word heart, no less than it symbolized the love of her divine Son. So first, her love, then her sinless purity, expressed by the word immaculate. Both the substantive heart and the adjective immaculate are of the essence of what the Church means by Immaculate Heart of Mary. We begin then by asking ourselves, in wonderment, what shall we say about Mary's love? First, we begin by making the salutary observation that, unlike the love of Christ, who is both God and man, Mary's love was and is totally and exclusively human. Where then, when we direct ourselves to the heart of Jesus, though he was indeed a man, he is also the infinite God, and therefore, unlike the word heart when referring to Jesus, which spans both divine and human love, Mary's heart symbolizes, what else could it, only her human love, because that's all she had, for the best of reasons. That's all she was, a creature. Then we ask, as we get closer to the center of our subject, we ask two questions about this love that is in Mary or from Mary. Whom did and does Mary love? And secondly, how? It is therefore both the object of Mary's love and the manner of her loving that are the objects of our devotion to her heart. First, whom? Speaking of her mortal life on earth, she loved God with her whole heart. This is one human person about whom Christ's injunction, quoting the revelations of the old law, that we are to love the Lord our God with our whole heart. This is one human being about whom that command can be said. It was fulfilled perfectly. She loved her divine Son as only a mother can love the fruit of her womb. She loved Joseph, to whom she was espoused, as only a devoted wife can love, surely in this case, her devoted husband. It was a genuine, espoused love, which bears much emphasis, anticipating what we shall say before we finish this conference. Mary, then, is a model in a very special way for women and this. No other woman can fulfill both virgins and wives. How's that? She loved her relatives. We know that from the moment she appears in Scripture, where she is just hintedly told that her kinswoman Elizabeth is with child and being, as we know, of age. Even if she wasn't of age, she would need help. So what did she do? She ran, Luke tells us, across the mountain country of Judea. As I'm sure you know, running among mountains is no easy feat. She loved her relatives. She loved her friends. She was invited to a wedding. They ran out of wine. If she had money, I suppose she might have done something else. But like Peter later on would say, silver and gold I don't have, but I have, I give you. She could say, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, let there be wine. And there was wine. She loved St. John, to whom Christ entrusted her. She loved the apostles. Peter, whom we may be sure she knew. In fact, I almost think that once in a while she might have told her son something about Peter. Not that he didn't know on his own, but he would welcome a woman's intuition. Now, Jesus, watch Peter. He's very devoted to you, but he's also very impetuous. And I know impetuous people. She knew, therefore, Peter. And what we should remind ourselves, though Paul does not give evidence of it, she knew Paul. How do we know that she knew Paul? Oh, that's certain. Because, do you know who Paul's secretary and confidant was? Luke. Who told us most about Mary? Luke. You can be sure that Luke told Paul a lot about Mary. I can imagine many times of an evening, Paul and Mary sat together. He wanted to know more about this Jesus of Nazareth, whom, as far as we know, we never met, certainly, in mortal flesh. And she not only loved the apostles, but all the disciples of Christ. How do we know? Pentecost Sunday, who was there? The apostles and disciples and Mary. If we change the tense, from whom did to whom does Mary love, the answer of faith, as the church teaches us, is she loves everyone, but especially those who most love her son. She wouldn't be a mother if she did not react that way. As all good salesmen know, if you want to get to a man, go through the mother. If you want to win a mother's heart, talk about her son. So much for whom has and does Mary been loving. Now we ask how. Here I think we should more carefully distinguish between the banner of Christ's showing how much he can be loved by giving us Mary as the model. We should distinguish between the manner of Mary's loving during her mortal life and now her loving in glory. During her mortal life, Mary loved, and I begin with this, sufferingly. It seems from the moment that God entered her life, from the moment of the conception of Christ in her womb, she began to be what the church tells us to honor her as, the sorrowful mother of God. Very soon, shortly after Christ was born, she was told by the heavenly messenger, Simeon, inspired from heaven, that a sword would continue to pierce her heart. Mary loved chastely. How this needs to be emphasized and clarified today. Mary's love for Joseph, faith tells us, was utterly chaste. But who would question that her love was profound? Let's keep telling ourselves that the essence of love is in spirit. It is not in body. The essence. It must be. Why? Because God is God who has no body, loves. Love means wishing well for the one that I love. Love means doing service for the one that I love. Love means thinking well, speaking well. Oh, that's an odd thing. Thinking well, you to say, of people. Well, I like the expression, to people. Because I think I'm right. No matter what you're saying when you're speaking to a person, what you really think reaches that person in spite of your words. Would you agree? Love or its absence cannot be hid. And all of this is in the Spirit. How did Mary love? Mary loved quietly. When she and Joseph were told to take the Christ child and rush off to Egypt, well, she and Joseph did it. And we are told at night, Mary loved trustfully. The episode described by Matthew about Mary's pregnancy and Joseph's consternation teaches many things. For our purposes, it especially teaches that those who love God love Him trustfully, which means we love God unworryingly. And Mary loved perseveringly. It was she who persevered in her total faith in her divine Son during that first Holy Saturday between the crucifixion on Good Friday and the resurrection on Easter Sunday, so much so that from apostolic times, Saturday has always been specially Mary's day in commemoration of her perseverance during that first momentous Saturday when it seems everyone else was discouraged and despondent. So much for how did Mary love. Remember, we're talking about her heart. So she loved necessarily and naturally, not only with her interior emotions or affections, but with her feelings. And as we know, in the service that she practiced in her body. But now we ask, how does Mary love, symbolized by her heart? Well, she loves affectively, that is, interiorly, and she loves effectively. She does something about the love that she has for God by interceding for sinful man, and love for us by helping us in obtaining from Christ for us the graces that we need. So much so, and this is where the whole doctrine of Mary's mediation fits in. It is the answer to how does Mary love now. She loves as the mediatrix in pleading with Jesus for the graces that she, as our mother, knows we need, and as his mother knows he will give. But before we leave this subject, there is still one aspect I should like to emphasize, and that is, when we speak of the heart of Mary, no less than we talk about the heart of Jesus, we are speaking of two hearts which had both a mortal existence and now are immortally living in heaven. Mary now has a real physical heart. Her assumption assured her that alongside of her son, she is in heaven with him, in soul and in body. And where there's a body, there's a heart. And where there's a heart, there are all the features that we associate with having not only spiritual sentiments, but how this needs to be said, bodily feelings. Mary feels for us. She has emotions that pertain to the body because she has a body. Which should, the clearer and deeper our faith is, make us more and more enamored of her, because we realize that she not only understood 2,000 years is a long time ago, she understands. That is part one of our reflection on what the church means by Mary's heart. What does the church mean by her immaculate heart? Here again we ask ourselves in wonderment, what shall we say about Mary's sinless purity? Notice, we do not mean by this only, though we include that too, her purity of body as a virgin. There is a virginal woman's body in heaven. That's Mary. What the church means beyond that is her total purity of soul by her sinlessness. Now clearly here, the sinlessness she now possesses in heaven is well the sinlessness that everyone who is in heaven enjoys. We are rather referring, as the church wants us to understand, the sinlessness that she both experienced and, let's say, practiced during her mortal stay on earth, where for the rest of us it is anything but sinlessness. It is, shall we say it, sinfulness. She was sinless, as we believe, by an extraordinary and unique prerogative. It all began at her conception in the womb of her mother Mary. Pardon me. In the womb of her mother Anne. She was therefore without sin from the first moment of her existence. She continued sinless all through life. Now, as we might and do correctly speak of three kinds of sinfulness, we can speak of Mary's threefold sinlessness. She was first of all sinless in not having any stain of original sin.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.